Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Say big on your landscaping project now at Menards. We make it easy for you to enhance your outdoor living space with the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Build a fire pit or retaining wall with our tumbled Belgian wall blocks. On sale now. Save big on your landscaping project at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Time to get to our 7-in-7 top headlines. Of course, our top headline of the day is the Masters teeing off. That's going to be in about 30 minutes. Oh, actually 28 minutes now. So excited for that. Now, the Masters just teed off 5 months ago. We had Dustin Johnson putting on that green jacket in the end. But Kevin and I are going to continue to break down the Masters in these upcoming segments. So make sure you stay with us here on the Early Line.
Absolutely. Countdown is on. Very excited for this. Excited to talk to Cam. And I feel like throughout our coverage, I'll find out more about Erin's golf game. She said that her swing is flawless. Maybe there's a little, you know, she's disguising some things there. But a flawless swing, hopefully that is the same for those who we choose to bet on this week.
See, so I have the perfect swing where I have all the power, and you'd be really surprised how far I can hit it, but it's when I lean on that one foot where, you know, it's supposed to, like, slide back. I just jokingly push it back so it looks like I'm doing it right, but I'm able to hit that ball pretty far. I'll have to see if we can pull up a video of that in these upcoming segments. But also, top headline, KD back in the lineup. He actually does play basketball. He returned, and the Nets cruise past the Pelicans. KD, in that first game, of course, since February 13th, he shot a perfect 5-for-5, 17.7 boards, 19 minutes to play there.
No, look, awesome stuff from Durant. Should we pretend that he's going to win MVP now? No, maybe.
No.
Look, he was excellent, though. The Nets were excellent in this game. They continue to make it very difficult for Sixers backers and fans to feel any kind of comfort over the race for the one seed. I mean, the guy didn't miss a shot. Like, he didn't miss a single shot. He was tremendous. They said he's going to stay on a minutes limit, but I think anything from Kevin Durant is clearly going to be a positive for the Brooklyn Nets.
Yes. Also, last night in the NBA, the Suns won in overtime, of course, against the Jazz. Now, the Suns scored the first 5 points in overtime, never trailed again. Devin Booker, Chris Paul combined for 64 points in that game. So, great overtime win. But, of course, they're going to face the Clippers tonight, and they're the underdog at +5 right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yeah, look, big games for both of these teams. Here's the question I'll leave people with, though. Which of those two teams, Utah, Phoenix, do you believe is more live or to come out of the Western Conference? I know the odds say Utah, but Phoenix is only now one game back. We saw what the Suns just did in what felt like a playoff kind of game. Of course, the seeding will matter, who gets what kind of road, who has to play who. But which of those teams do you believe in more when it comes to actually appearing in the NBA Finals?
Yep, and right now you have the Suns sitting in second in the Western Conference standings, so it's going to be good to see how they face the Clippers tonight. All right, also top headline in soccer, PSG Suns Bayern 3-2 in the first leg of the Champions League quarterfinal matchup.
Yeah, absolutely. It also sounded like you said they sunned him, which I think works even better than stunned him. It was a 3-2 final there. Kylian Mbappe is an absolute megastar. Love to see Neymar get on the board as well. This is a pro-Neymar show, regardless of Aaron's opinion. That is just what it has to be. Love Neymar. Bayern Munich, though, again, has dominated Europe. And little-known fact, our graphics guy, Steve, always gives us great insight on the Champions League. So next time we're breaking down the quarterfinals, I'll get a little insight from him. We'll check in. He'll let us know, do we want to back Bayern or not? And we'll be ready to roll with the Champions League. We'll pick up a little more footy coverage here on the Early Line.
Yeah, and we just want to quickly welcome in our radio audience. You're listening to The Early Line on Sports Grid and Sirius XM Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan, doing our 7-7 top headlines. Let's switch it over to the MLB. So the Braves sweep in their doubleheader yesterday after the Nationals, of course, took game one of the series to win the season opener. Now, in that first game, Braves won 7-6. Second game, Braves shut them out. Not as exciting, of course, as that first game. But NL East teams are looking pretty competitive this year, Kev.
Yeah, this thing is going to be, I think that you used the right word there, as competitive as people thought. The Phillies are off to a really, really strong start. The Mets and the Nationals are very early into their seasons because of the delay, but they've looked good in spots there. The Braves double up in that doubleheader is important as well. One of the things I think will be good for us to try and track with the doubleheaders this year, how many teams complete the same-day sweep? Atlanta gets the job done.
Very good there. And then in the MLB, Cleveland, Shane Bieber strikes out 12 Royals players in the Indians 4-2 win. Good win for him, especially if you take in his strikeout prop.
Yes, absolutely. Now, some would say that these headlines are a little biased as we get some anti-Royals slander in here and we avoid the Yankees' loss to Baltimore. We'll talk more about that when we have to recap Major League Baseball. But I also just wanted to put this in here because we talked yesterday about maybe getting some value on Shane Bieber being on the mound. Could you get them at minus 200 or lower because of their opening day loss? You were able to get them at minus 200 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. But he didn't even get the win. This Indians offense is really struggling. Jose Ramirez had to pull this one out basically on his own with a couple of home runs in this game. Cleveland's offense needs to wake up.
Yep, it definitely does. And our last headline also in the MLB, the A's get their first win in extra innings against the Dodgers. Didn't think they had it in them. They scored three of their four runs when the Dodgers took Trevor Bauer off the mound. He had a great game, but all around claps for the A's to get their first win of the season.
I love that we are treating a team that has been a perennial playoff contender like the worst team in Major League Baseball. they've been terrible. They've been so bad. They did finally get the job done. They finally didn't give up what felt like a bazillion runs to their counterpart. Golf clap, Masters. Good job, Oakland.
Coming up next, we're going to talk about the MLB and also break down all things for the Masters before, of course, that tees off at 8:30. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to The Early Line. We want to talk a little bit of MLB since we neglected that a little bit in the first hour. So, Kev, some of the top headlines that I was looking at, we have the Nationals. Of course, they won their season opener, but then the Braves swept yesterday in their doubleheader. The A's get their first win of the season over the Dodgers. We just mentioned that as one of our top headlines. Not to mention the Phillies beat the Mets. They're looking good. Four runs in that first inning obviously helped. Phillies move to 5-1, and the Mets 1-2 record, of course, is not great, but they're coming off some COVID issues. So any thoughts on these three games?
Yeah, I think the Phillies one we haven't really touched on much yet. And for them, jumped all over the Mets. And that was big. They came out there, they put up four in the first, and they never looked back and ultimately won that game 8-2. I think for the Mets, Peterson cannot be your third starter for all the hype that this Mets rotation gets. I know, again, they got off to the slow start to COVID. I know Noah Syndergaard isn't there, and at some point he is supposed to be there. I get it. I got it. Good. But and look, maybe it was just a bad outing for Peterson. But, boy, did Philly tee off on him immediately. And how about the Phils? We asked ourselves, overreaction or reality that this team will win the NL East six games into the season. I get it. They're 5-1. And I mean, they're playing about as good as you can right now. And the biggest thing that they have to be encouraged by is this bullpen. I mean, really, yeah. This bullpen is continually getting the job done. And you trust the lineup Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler, and, you know, if what Eflin did in his debut is for real, then this Phillies team is live in the National League East.
Yeah, and it's interesting right now looking at the odds in National League East on the FanDuel Sportsbook. We have the Mets at plus 135 still, the Braves at plus 160. So they haven't really moved much despite some of their losses. But the Philadelphia Phillies, they came down from plus 600. They're now plus 490 while the Nationals moved to plus 600. And then, of course, the Marlins 32-1. So some people, I guess, after this 5-1 start, starting to believe in the Phillies, as they should. I'm a little biased here because I'm a Phillies fan. But another top headline, we have the Giants. They beat the Padres with a run in the 10th inning, despite the Padres being heavy favorites again in this one. Fernando Tatis and his injury, how do you see this impacting this team already?
So that's the question with San Diego. Look, it's we can't make every single time they lose like, oh, they lost because of Tatis. It's not true.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not how this works. But in a game in which they only put up two runs, it does like, oh, well, maybe. We asked ourselves yesterday, could the Padres become an under team now that they are without Fernando Tatis? This team has actually now played to, I believe, five consecutive unders, some of those with Tatis. So maybe that was just the direction that we were trending in regardless. But the Padres had a reputation, or at least an expectation, I feel like, of putting up a lot of runs, of course, because of the Tatis, Machado, Hosmer lineup, regardless of who they were going to be throwing on a daily basis. But they're typically putting out good arms, Yu Darvish to Blake Snell, these last two games, and their lineup obviously taking a big hit. The preseason co-favorite to win the NL MVP, Tatis, not around. The Padres games going under is something to follow.
And one of your co-hosts, Donnie Wrightside, we had him on the show, and that was one of the things that he suggested when betting in the MLB, is just take it easy in April, see what happens with some of these games. So now we're finding some of these trends, like you just mentioned, with the unders there, which is great. So now that we've had some games under the belt for some of these teams, we're able to kind of find those trends. And obviously, Kevin and I will give you as many as we possibly can to the best of our ability. But another game I want to talk about, the Orioles, of course, beating the Yankees. Yankees are 3-3 now. How do you see their game right now? Do you see that we should be maybe 5-1 here? Are you surprised we're 3-3? Or do you think the Orioles are actually a decent team considering they do have a better record right now, 4-2?
Without, look, the Orioles are 4-2. Give them credit. This was all, this was a disaster from the Yankees. They had 13 hits compared to 4 for Baltimore. Baltimore only wins this game not only because of the lack of timely hitting from the Yanks, but a Gleyber Torres error, not being able to field a routine ground ball and make a simple throw over to first base. I would have liked to seen Jay Bruce be able to bring it in, but the problem was the throw from Gleyber, and that one error was costly. I know the Yanks did proceed to tie it up in the 10th inning, so there's a lot of stuff that happened from when, you know, the Gleyber error was committed. And, of course, there's a lot of things that happened before the Gleyber error was committed. It is not the sole reason that they lost this game, but it was still a frustrating loss nevertheless. Look, 6 games in, 3-3. You know, the sky is not falling on the New York Yankees at all. But the bat, like, that feels like what we're talking about, Aaron, whenever it is a negative thing with the Yankees. The pit, when you know, we were making the case for the Yanks to win the World Series, there were two, you know, main things there. When it said a complete staff and the best lineup in baseball. Well, the complete staff part has been true. Starters have been good. Bullpen's been good. The lineup has not been true at all. They are not producing consistently enough at the plate. It needs to change if they are going to reach their full potential.
Yes, it definitely does. So let's now that we've done a little bit of the recap there, are there any other games that you want to hit on quickly, Kev?
Yeah, I just think when you continue to look through yesterday's board, one of the other games that did catch my eye was the matchup between the Rangers and the Blue Jays, just because Toronto was a team that came off a you know, pretty good vibes with their 2 out of 3 they took in the Bronx, kind of gave it back to Texas. than dropping that series and a couple of performances where they'll be disappointed in their bats as well, especially yesterday's game, only putting up one run and not giving Ryu the run support that his performance on the mound deserves. Seven innings, only two earned, walked nobody, struck out seven. But Kyle Gibson was very, very good for the Rangers. I just think to, you know, put a complete wrap on this American League East, it feels like it is going to be competitive in the same way that the National League East is, except the NL East, it's like, this is competitive because everybody is real good. The American League East, at least early season vibes, is like, are any of you as good as we think? Different vibes, still competitive.
Definitely. All right, let's switch it over now to our MLB preview. Of course, some good games on the board, different series happening today. We have the Astros and the A. Now, in the opener series between these teams last weekend, the Astros, four straight wins, 8-1, 9-5, 9-1, 9-2. Now, the A's, I mean, they're just struggling. They obviously just got their first win, but losing to the Dodgers by a combined 15-4 score, I mean, that's kind of wild there. In this game, of course, we had the Astros favored with a total at 9.5 runs. I feel this might be an over game.
I think the exact same thing, because you have Cole Irvin on the mound for Oakland, and this is the wild, right, like early season, but we've already seen these pitchers come up against these lineups. Cole Irvin for Oakland only lasted 4 1/3, gave up 7 hits and 4 runs in his time on the mound. And we saw the Astros very comfortably tee off on Oakland pitching. All of those games went over, every single one of them in that series. Christian Javier, who's going to get the ball for Houston, was really the one pitcher that Houston threw out there that Oakland had some success with. In the game that he pitched, there was 14 total runs scored in that game. Javier didn't even last four full innings against Oakland in that go-around here. So 9.5 runs, that still feels like a number, Aaron, that we can bet towards the over with these two teams meeting here today.
Yes, I agree with you on that. Another game quickly, the Angels-Blue Jays. Blue Jays continue their trip on the West Coast, trying to wash that bad taste, of course, after they just beat the Texas Rangers. But despite being a league average team on offense defense, the Angels have taken 3 of 5 games from preseason projected playoff teams, a total at 10. What do you like for this game?
We're going to talk a little bit more about this on the other side, but the Blue Jays home opener, but in quotes. We'll talk more about that, though, on the other side, Aaron.
Yeah, we'll be right back, guys, after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the early line. We want to continue with a little MLB preview. We have the Angels and Blue Jays. Talked about this a little bit at the end of our last segment. Now, despite Los Angeles being a league average team on offense and defense, the Angels have taken 3 of 5 games from preseason projected playoff teams. Blue Jays right now are favored in this matchup with the total at 10. Kev, what do you like for this game?
So what I was talking about before we hit the break with this being the home opener for Toronto is, of course, that this game is not in Toronto. It's in Florida, as the same situation that we are seeing this year with the Raptors. And if you've been following the Raptors this year, I think it really has thrown them off some that they've had to play their home games in Florida. Their home record for the Raptors isn't abysmal, but they've lost 13 games at home this year of their 24. They only lost 10 last year of 36 that they played at home. You see that distinction. Now, you could counter and say, well, this is what the Blue Jays dealt with last season. Sure, but there's two differences. One, those games were in Buffalo, so they're adjusting to a new ballpark again. And secondly, they didn't even play 30 games in that ballpark. Shortened season, easier to make it through. 162-game grind, 81 games now that they have to play in Florida. That can be something that wears on this Toronto Blue Jays team. I wonder, Aaron, if we would be better off fading this team more often than not when they are quote-unquote home. The Toronto Blue Jays realistically playing these games in Florida.
Yeah, that's so interesting, and I honestly didn't even think about that. But there was a lot of stats that I was reading for against the spread numbers, even how the Toronto Blue Jays playing at home. And you have to also consider they're not actually home. They're actually going to be in Florida, even though that's kind of just their home basis and whatnot for right now. But you made a great point with the Toronto Raptors. I think it's throwing them off. I mean, look how they're playing. They're playing terrible. They're playing like trash. Although I don't really think Florida has anything to do with that. But just want to mention the under is 4-1 of the Blue Jays last five. Overall, another game on the board tonight. We have the Brewers and the Cardinals. Of course, the Brewers will be out to build on their 4-2 win over the Cubs in extra innings their last time out. Meanwhile, the Cardinals look to build on a dominant 7-0 win over Miami the last time out. But of course, Miami Marlins aren't great right now. Brewers, they're favored in this matchup right now with Burns on the mound. Total at 7.5. Do you lean either way here, Kev?
So I think people could very well be a little surprised to see the NL Central favorite Cardinals as home underdogs. This is a pitching thing. Wainwright got tanked in his season debut. Didn't make it out of the third, gave up 7 hits and 6 runs. It was a debacle. Corbin Burns, who's going to be on the mound for Milwaukee, well, he had a no-hitter into the 7th inning in his outing against the Minnesota Twins, ultimately lost that when Buxton took him deep in the 7th. The tough thing for Burns is he got a loss in that game because his opposing pitcher, Jose Berrios of Minnesota, also had a no-hitter into this, like, 7th inning. So that was pretty tough. This game is very difficult for me because in one end, I think you could argue towards the under. Each team coming off of 3-game sets in which none of the games eclipsed 8 runs. But Wainwright was so trash against Cincinnati. You ask yourself, is it safe to bet an under? If I'm worried about Wainwright, but I think, you know, Corbin Burns is going to be good, well, then we just lay 136 with Milwaukee. But can you really book the Cards at home, the NL Central favorites, as dogs against another NL Central team? I mean, Wainwright's supposed to be their second starter. Like, that would be a little concerning here. I ultimately lean towards the Brewers because it feels like there is a big gap here between Burns and Wainwright. But I lean that way cautiously because I wonder if this, you know, Cardinals plus number at Busch is something we won't see very often.
Yeah, and you're kind of talking me a little bit into my dog of the day here with maybe taking the Cardinals, just given that they are at home and you make a lot of great points there. But even though you're leading a little bit towards the Brewers, but that won't be my dog of the day, but you were kind of making me reconsider it here. Another game on the board, we have the Red Sox and the Orioles. Boston Red Sox, of course, were swept by the Orioles for their second ever 0-3 start at Fenway Park for the first time since 1948. Now, of course, this time around, we're having the Orioles playing at home. Right now, the FanDuel Sportsbook total at 9 with the Orioles as the underdog. Harvey on the mound. Which way do you lean in this game?
So the pitching matchup is important here for completely different reasons. Matt Harvey goes for Baltimore, and that's interesting because they've already seen him, right? Pitched against them at Fenway, went 4 2/3, giving up 6 hits and 2 runs, striking out 4 batters. It was an all right start there from Harvey. His counterpart, Eduardo Rodriguez, is making his first start since 2019. He missed all of last year because of COVID. It was actually kind of a scary situation for Rodriguez, but it'll be exciting to see him back out on the mound for Boston. But it's his first start since 2019. I mean, for me, this feels just like a complete unknown. Now, Camden Yards and the over, you know, I'm not mad at that with a total of 9. Maybe you play it live, see what Rodriguez is working with. I actually wouldn't be mad, though, at looking at a player prop in this game. This is, we talked strikeout props, we get a decent sense of those, but hitter props, not as popular. And I think you could very well try and, you know, flirt with this market a little bit here today on a guy like JD Martinez, who is red hot right now, batting .476 early doors, 4 straight multi-hit games, and was 3-for-3 against Matt Harvey when they saw him earlier in the year at Fenway. So JD Martinez, 2+ hits. We don't have the numbers on that just yet. But if that's like a minus 120 range number, Aaron, I wouldn't mind taking a look at that. And by the way, I almost forgot to bring this up, but another player prop that could be interesting from a hitter standpoint is Mike Trout today against Ross Stripling. Trout has had 7 at-bats versus Stripling, 5 hits, 2 home runs. And Trout is now homered in 2 consecutive games coming into this matchup. Long balls working for him. Maybe a big plus number on Trout to homer off Stripling, or maybe another multi-hit game. Those could be worth a look as we try to dabble in all of the options in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and I think taking the player props is the way to go, especially when you have 2 teams that have very mixed results. So I think you make a great point there. But that concludes our little MLB preview there. Let's switch it back to the NBA because there's 2 other games we wanted to talk about. Now we have the Trailblazers versus the Jazz. Now the Jazz on a back-to-back after their loss to the Suns. Already talked about that. Right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, the Trailblazers, they're getting 7 points. But I want to mention this. The Trailblazers are 1-4 against the spread in their last 5 games as an underdog, 0-4 against the spread in their last 4 games against a team with a winning record, 5-2 against the spread in their last 7 games as a road underdog, though. So, Kev, do you think that in this position, I mean, Portland just hasn't been great. Would you take the points with the Jazz, or do you think that they might have tired legs from just playing with the Suns?
So, you always try to look at teams back-to-back against the number records. It's very important this year, right? It's how we had a good sense to fade, say, the Raptors against the Lakers just the other day. Well, Utah's against the spread records on the second leg of back-to-backs is incredible. That's because all of their against the spread numbers are incredible. 17-6 is a home favorite, you know, 18-6 overall at home. I mean, every single thing with this that this team does against the number is excellent. And those are a lot of negative numbers that you've just listed out there for this Portland team. I would lay the number with Utah off of not only just 1, but now 2 losses, returning home, in which they do typically beat up on teams. And we've also talked about how Portland has really just been able to beat teams that are not of the highest quality. Look at the last 2 results against 2 elite squads in Milwaukee and the Clippers. They lose to the Bucks by 18. They lose to the Clippers by 17. The Jazz winning this one by double digits feels very live.
Yeah, and the Jazz obviously playing on that back-to-back against the spread numbers are very impressive. Another game on the board, we have the Bulls and the Raptors. So the Bulls coming off a win over the Pacers. Raptors coming off a terrible loss to the Lakers. They shot 15% from the 3-point line, 5 of 33. That was very awful. We talked about that a couple of days ago on the show. But now the Bulls need a win, but so do the Toronto Raptors. So the Bulls need a win after losing 8 of their last 11 games. For the Raptors, 14 of the last 17 games. So both these teams not playing great. The Bulls right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook laying 3.5, waiting for the total to be posted. But which way do you lean here, Kev?
So you could argue that this is the most important game on today's NBA slate. And yeah, I know there's a lot of good teams playing, but the Bulls are the 10th spot right now in the East. The Raptors are 11th. With a win, Toronto would cut their deficit in the standings to just 1 game. Of course, if Chicago gets the victory, as they're favored to do so, they would separate themselves 3 games from the Toronto Raptors. There is not a lot of time left in this season, okay? And that is important, you know, and it'd be a 4-game lead in the loss column. Like, that is not an insignificant amount to which Chicago could put themselves apart from the Raptors. I'll say 2 things, okay? The Bulls, despite their struggles, covered 4 straight, winners of 2 in a row, and pretty good wins, 1 over Brooklyn, and then they beat up on Indiana pretty good. The Raptors still dealing with health issues. FEV's not supposed to play.
Yep.
Lowry's not supposed to play. The Bulls feel like a team you want to back, but I will say this. The Raptors are the kind of team you put their backs up against the wall. They feel like they deliver a very important game on tonight's NBA slate.
Yeah, I just want to mention the Raptors are 1-4 against the spread in their last 5 home games as well. Stay with us here on the early line. Coming up next, we have Cam Stewart to talk all things Masters. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line with Kevin Walsh. I'm Aaron Dolan. We're now bringing on Sports Grid's own Cam Stewart to talk all things about the Masters, of course, which just teed off. We're the first group out there, but things are going to heat up, Cam. So thanks for joining us this morning.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, guys. I saw the Masters menu, too, and I got really lucky in my early days in my career. Like a young Kevin Walsh, I actually got to go to Augusta and cover it for a couple channels. These guys worked me to a bone. I'm like, hey, where are we staying? Our company had no money. We didn't get one of those cabins on the course. We're like an hour and a half outside. Hey, we're in Thompson, Georgia. I'm like, oh, this is great. 2 hours later, we're at the course, 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, but I will say this. $1.50 sandwiches. If you like sandwiches, pimento and cheese, all the stuff, they got a new Masters BLT. Beers are a couple bucks. I'll tell you, man, it is one thing. You're not going to get fleeced. Like when you go, she likes the Flyers, right? You go to a Flyers game, you're probably paying $15 for a beer. I'm paying like $25 to watch a stupid Leafs. I'm going, wow, you got to bring $300, $400 to a hockey game just to get suds. But at the Masters, actually, it's real value. Things they keep things kind of in a time warp, prices from the past.
You got to love beautiful. It, especially when you're hanging out on the golf course, watching some of your favorite, the best in the world. But quickly, just wanted to get your general overview of this Masters, of course, because the last one was in November, so we had different course conditions. Now we're going to have fans. What should we expect?
I expect it to be a lot tougher. In November, you saw the score. Dustin Johnson won at 20 under. That's not going to happen again. And let me tell you about those guys in the green coats, the old Masters old guys. They don't like to be embarrassed. They don't want to be showed up. And I'll tell you, Kev, I told you a story. I saw a couple drunks like rolling down a hill during a rainstorm. They just didn't kick them out. They kicked their family out for generations. These guys don't like to screw around. And I'll tell you, when the Masters has a score that low, they're like, how are we going to adjust this? This week, firm and fast. That brings in a lot of people into the tournament. So long ball hitters are really going to get it out there. Short ball hitters and some of the old guys are going to have a chance too if conditions stay that way. On Friday, they're expecting a little bit of rain, but they're saying this is going to be a lot tougher. I expect the winning score to be around 11, 12 under. I think FanDuel has the bet 11 under or worse. I think that's a great number that they posted. That's exactly where I think it's going to be. You're not going to see a 20 under this week. It's going to be a little bit trickier. 11, 12 should get it done.
And then, Cam, before we talk about some of the specific golfers, what are you trying to look for if the most recent Masters performance maybe we can't value as much as we typically would because of how different the conditions are?
Yeah, it's a little bit tougher. So you got to think horses for courses. You also think, you know, what guys strike the ball well off the tee. And I'm going to tell you guys, putting. If you can't putt this week, you're done. I expect a lot of people to like have a putt and it to roll and roll and hit water. That's how fast and slick these greens are going to be. If you have no short game, you're done. Just pack up your bags now. You're not going to make it to the weekend. So, hey, it's one of those tournaments, guys. You look at the chalk, DeChambeau, Johnson, Thomas, Rahm, Jordan Spieth. These are guys that should win the tournament, right? So when I go bargain hunting, I only found a couple guys. And some veterans you can take, too. You want to take a wily veteran, maybe, that's been there before, knows the course, knows the shots. And I'll tell you guys, this course doesn't have a lot of defense mechanisms, right? Some courses have water, wind. The Masters defense is pin placements. So basically what they're going to do is if you hit it at this side of the green, you're toast. You're not, you know what I mean? You're looking at a par or a bogey. You have to really be strong off the tee, shape your shots. And it's a second shot golf course this weekend, guys. You got to be there and don't be attacking every pin. They put out a lot of sucker pins out there, want you to go for it. Next thing you know, you're on the rocks and you're toast.
So we have DeChambeau and Dustin Johnson there right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook plus 900. Now, during this time that we were doing the show, Justin Thomas moved up also to the favorites at plus 900. Do you like any of these three to actually win it all?
I'll tell you, Aaron, I don't do this very often, but like, you know, I got to renew my mortgage. I was thinking about, can I get some Justin Thomas monies too for top five, top 10, everything. He's my favorite player this week. He fits all the boxes, friends of Tiger Woods. He drives the ball long. He shapes the ball long. Also, something that I've noted, when he first started going to Augusta, he had a lot of three-peats, and you know, when he first started his career, three putts, and you know, he made some mistakes. Every single year, his statistics have gotten better, and that's something that you need to look for, trending in the right direction. Also, you know, playing with a heavy heart for his grandfather who passed away. He won a couple weeks ago. And the thing about Justin Thomas is he can come out of the sky. I bet this guy live at 40-1, 8 shots back over the weekend, he can win. He's one of those guys that just continually plots. So I know, Kevin, we were talking about this. You don't have any action now, but if you see Justin Thomas maybe like 4 or 5 shots off the lead in the weekend, don't be hesitant. Maybe you get him at 18, 25-1, something like that on FanDuel. Hit the button, buddy, because he's going to be there in the end.
Yeah, I always know whenever you like someone near the top, that's a big, big sign, because I know you like your long shots. I do want to ask you about Bryson, because the narrative with this guy, last year he's like, oh, I'm going to break Augusta. And then he was above par in two of the four rounds. We saw the, you know, the futures market for the Masters had him come off the lead. But now as we tee off, he's right up there with DJ and JT. What do you expect from Bryson this go-around here at Augusta?
I expect him to be there. He's not my top pick. As I said, I really like Justin Thomas. But here's the thing about Bryson DeChambeau. The guy's no fool. He's one of the guys who, you know, he uses clubs at the same length. People laughed at him. Well, he laughed at them when he made all sorts of money and won tournaments, right? He's a physics guy. He likes to look at numbers and break it down. He's not a stooge. And I will say this, though. He learned a hard lesson the last Masters. You can't just overpower this course. You have to set up your drives to be in position for your second shot, and you can't attack all pins. People that are too aggressive will pay the price. Look at all the old guys. You know, we're hanging out with the seniors. Bernhard Langer. All the regular guys, they're always lingering at the Masters. Same course. They played it year after year after year. Course knowledge is very important. I think DeChambeau learned a valuable lesson last year. I can't just bring out driver every hole and try to be a hero. You got to set things up for the next shot, and his putting needs to be better. I think he'll be there. A lot of people either love him this week or hate him. I think he'll probably finish inside the top 10, but I like Justin Thomas a hell of a lot more than DeChambeau.
Interesting. And I wanted to ask you also about Rory McIlroy. Now, he's 14-1 to win it. He hasn't won a major since 2014. He needs the green jacket to complete his career Grand Slam. But Rory wanting to capitalize on his partnership with his new swing coach, Pete Cohen. And it's not often that golfers get a new coach 2 weeks before the biggest tournament of the year. Do you think this will help him or potentially hurt him?
I think it will help him. And the thing about Rory McIlroy, though, is I think he's going to get closer. But I don't like him this week. He's just one of those guys that I can't bet on. If I'm taking chalk, there's a couple guys that I like, and he's not there. Thing is, Aaron, Rory McIlroy should be a lot better than his results indicate. He's one of the biggest hitters on tour. He's one of the straightest hitters on tour. His problem, wedge play. If you're a professional golfer and you're inside 150 yards, you should be about 8 to 12 feet from the pin consistently. He's about 20, 25. It's like, come on, Rory. Like, you're that good. Like, you're for your pound for pound, one of the strongest guys out there, like Justin Thomas. And I'm sitting there going, wow, that's a bad wedge shot for a pro. This is something that he needs to improve on. His putting has also been erratic. And Rory, he takes big numbers sometimes. He can go birdie, 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 quad, snowman. He's one of those guys. He doesn't minimize damage. That's why I like guys like Justin Thomas. If they're in trouble, let's suck it up. Take your medicine, take your bogey, and move on to the next hole. Don't be a hero and take a triple or a quad and take yourself out of the tournament.
Is a snowman an 8? Is that what that
is? Yes, it is, Kevin. Yes, yes.
Wow, yes. I love that. Yeah, that's so awesome. Yeah,
that's like a wrestling term. You're like, oh, okay, you're a snowman.
Yeah,
snowman's 8.
Hockey sticks, I'm going to be looking for snowmans. Yeah. Oh, wow.
I shoot a lot of snowmans when I play, buddy. I'm just covered in snow.
Yeah. I feel like I would be lucky to get a snowman out there. Here's the other name. You knew I was going to ask him about him, is Brooks Koepka. But this is a lot more than just me. Yeah, this is. But the thing is, this is not just me being like, oh, I always got to ask him about Brooks. I mean, he just had surgery. Like this, I mean, I feel like there's a chance he withdraws if he's not healthy. Maybe I'm wrong. What do you think about Koepka this week?
I can tell you one thing. He wants the narrative to be, I'm tough. These golfers are a bunch of weaklings, and I'm in the boxing ring, and look at me. I just had surgery. I can walk. Let me tell you, I've been to Augusta. TV doesn't do it any justice. There's huge hills on this course. Everything's a side hill lie. There's no clean lies there. So I'll tell you one thing. I don't know if he's got, like, you know, A5-3-5 gels or a shot or whatever he's going to take. He's going to be rocking ice baths hard after every single round. And the thing is, if he gets too far behind, you're right, Cav, he might WD. You're also getting some good value on him at 28-1, where in a tournament, if he was healthy, he'd probably be around, you know, what, 12-14? I think he'd be just after Thomas. So this is the thing. I think he's a bit of a risk this week. I saw the matchups on FanDuel. He's against Colin Morikawa. I don't love that matchup per se, but if I saw him against Thomas, Reed, Cantlay, anybody almost on that board, the board coming up for my six-pack, I would take. So be careful, buddy. I know you love Brooks Koepka and you love wrestling. Don't be a hero this week. Just leave him off the card.
All right.
Now, we know the Masters, of course, is going to have the top golfers in the world. And I know you're going with Justin Thomas here, and it's hard for you to take one of the favorites basically on this board. But are there any long shots or sleeper picks that you could potentially take to finish in the top five, or you could do top 10? I know Cameron Smith is a favorite for some people over the past three Masters. He's notched fifth and second place finishes, and obviously he's on a decent run this season.
Yeah, Aaron, I tell you, I love Cam Smith. He made my six-pack. I wish I could grab a few more beers and make it a 9 or a 10-pack, but then we're taking away, profits. So if I'm going to take a guy like Justin Thomas at 11, here's my guy. Patrick Cantlay is another guy I think we have to watch out for this week. He checks all the boxes. You don't need to be a big hero this week and hit it off the tee. You need to be smart, methodical, and set yourself up basically robot-like and go about your business. Don't get too emotional and can't lay that guy. Nothing rattles his cage. Patrick Reed, everyone, hey, Patrick Reed, he's got no friends. Hey, Kevin, in wrestling terms, he's the heel of the PGA Tour. It's him and his caddy versus the world. You hate me? I love it. Who cares? He's got a wicked short game. Went to Augusta State, hometown player there at 32-1. I love his top fives and top tens too, guys, so I think he'll be there. Cam Smith, Aaron, you mentioned, how do you not take this guy, the hot Australian player? Don't let the mullet fool you. This kid's got game. He is ready to rock. And if you're looking for two big bombs, it's a left-hander's paradise at Augusta. Brian Harman is my guy. I also went to Georgia. I like to get those old, home course advantage guys. And Jason Kokrak, he's another guy, 120-1. Pfft. Pulling it up on FanDuel. This guy's kind of like Reed, but less hated. He's his own man. He doesn't hang out with cliques or anything. He's just a guy who likes to take your money, and he's very dangerous. 120-1. Watch out for a guy like Jason Kokrak. 7-1 top 10. Let's party.
Yeah, that's awesome. Cam, I wanted to ask you, is there anywhere else on this board? Because it is, Aaron made this point. She's like, it's like the Super Bowl. Like, we were betting the Super Bowl. We had all these props that we have from no other games. Here at the Masters, there's every single thing that you could imagine. Where else outside of this outright or finishing position markets are you looking to wager with the Masters?
Here's the thing. I don't like the juice, but a player to win from the U.S. is $190 on FanDuel. I think there's a lot of guys that can win. An American player, I love to win the tournament. Matchup bets, there's a few that I like. Thomas over Spieth at -140. A friend versus friend. I think Thomas is the better player there. Reed over Hovland. Are you kidding me? I was actually surprised. I thought Reed would be about $150 on FanDuel. It's -112. If I'm falling into a trap, I'm going there. So I like Patrick Reed over Hovland. And another one, the old veteran, Phil Mickelson, over the Wolfman. Give me Phil at +120. He knows his course inside out. He can play it blindfolded. Mm-hmm. As for Matt Wolf, great player, but he sprays it. That's dangerous at Augusta. So those are some matchups that I like.
Nice.
Cam, I love the interjections and the energy about this. Of course, the Masters are already teeing off. Any final thoughts before we let you go on? Any advice you want to give to bettors?
Guys, play it live. After they repost the cut on Friday, look for a guy who's good that you can take a limit. Guys, you don't think it's going to win. Kevin, we talked about it. Guys like Thomas, Cantlay, horses for courses. Maybe you get a better number. So that's my advice. Bet it live, too.
There you have it. Thanks so much for joining us, Cam. And guys, stay with us here on the Early Line. We'll be right back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. So in case you didn't know this, of course, it is the Masters. We're teeing off today. It already happened. So if you win the Masters, you get to pick the dinner for next year. So we're going to rate Dustin Johnson's menu that was posted yesterday on Twitter. So we have the Caesar salad. You also could pick from a garden salad. Then you have the filet mignon and then the peach cobbler and apple pie. So, Kevin, please rate this menu before I absolutely destroy it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, listen, for me, the Caesar salad option, strong, not really big into salads, but when I do, Caesar, pleased with that. Filet mignon, listen, can't go wrong. I think that's strong as well. As far as the peach cobbler, personally, or apple pie, not as much my deal. Chocolate cake wouldn't have been a bad idea. Maybe a little ice cream and a brownie. That could have been a good move as well. But it feels like it could be a positive. If we were going to go, let's go school grading, you know, A, okay. B, C, I would give it B+. I'd go B+.
Okay. I think we have to go a little lower, maybe a B-. So, like, with the Caesar salad, if you're going to start off with that, you need to go with Italian, which he did not do. And then you got the garden salad, which is so basic. Need to throw a little arugula in there. I would definitely have a beet salad with feta, all of that. Now, as for the filet, you'd have the fish available upon request. I don't like steak. I've never liked it. I've tried so many different filets. I don't know what it is about it. So that would be a little off for me. And then I don't like apple pie, but what is cobbler? What is a peach cobbler?
I mean, it's a pie.
Is that a pie? Like the cobbler and a pie are the same thing? You got the bread over top?
Yeah, I mean, basically. Yeah.
I think we just go with something chocolate. You go with the ice cream,
just something,
chocolate bars.
Chocolate ice cream?
Anything chocolate.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I'm not mad at that. Wait, you want like a Hershey bar?
Yeah, like if there's little Hershey bars, that would be perfect. I need like an eggplant parm. Man. I need an arugula salad. We need some shrimp cocktail in there. I just feel all around I would have been like, oh, man.
You show up to the Masters, you're like, yeah, listen, we got the best chefs in the world. What do you want them to make? Tell them to go to CES and get a couple of Hershey bars. That is incredible.
Take my car to go get some chocolate there. But as we said, guys, the Masters teed off today. We're talking all about it tomorrow here on the Early Line. Make sure to tune in 7, 9 a.m. Eastern tomorrow morning.
Sports Info. Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Say big on your landscaping project now at Menards. We make it easy for you to enhance your outdoor living space with the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Build a fire pit or retaining wall with our tumbled Belgian wall blocks. On sale now. Save big on your landscaping project at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
One thing I love about the stories you hear each week on the show is that every brand starts with a story. Behind every product is the founder who took a chance on an idea, overcame challenges, and worked hard to bring it to life. Walmart is making it easier for customers to discover products from small brands and support the people behind them. With thousands of small brands available through Walmart, customers can discover innovative products while learning about the entrepreneurs and stories that brought them to life. By helping connect these brands with communities across the country, Walmart is creating more opportunities for founders to grow and share what makes their products unique. Visit walmart.com to learn more.